and Romans chapter 15. Philippians chapter 3 and Romans chapter 15. And we'll start off in Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3 and Romans 15. Now, I'm going to read a passage here in Philippians chapter 3 that, believe it or not, has been somewhat of a point of contention with some people. And that's what we're going to talk about tonight. Probably not a point of contention in here, but there have been some people that don't quite understand the passage. Philippians chapter 3, look if you would, starting at verse 17. Just going to read two verses here. Paul says this, he says, "Brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk so as ye have us for an ensample. For many walk of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ." Now, Paul knew who he was, and he knew that he was who he was by the grace of God. But he was not ashamed to hold himself up as an example to other people. Paul was a Christian that other Christians could follow. He was a Christian who was a good example for other Christians, and Paul wanted other Christians to follow his example. Now, the reason that Paul was able to tell others to follow him is because Paul knew that he was following Jesus Christ. And as long as he was following Christ, anybody that followed Paul would be following Christ. Does that make sense? I mean, if Paul's following Christ, and you follow Paul, then really you're following Christ. Now, there are those today, you say, well, where's the contention? A lot of people today say, I follow no man, I follow Jesus Christ. And I understand when somebody says that, what they're saying. But, you know, Paul did say, be a follower of me. Now, what does that mean? Well, that means this. That means that, well, a person says, I follow no man, I follow Jesus Christ. Well, yeah, but there are Christian people, there are Christians that are good examples for other people. Amen? And we should follow their example if they are following Christ. Okay, now that's the catch. They have to be following Christ. If they're not following Christ, we should not follow those people. But if they are following Christ, then we should follow after them because they're following Christ. Because if we follow a person that's following Christ, just like Paul said here, we're actually following Christ. We're moving in the direction that Christ is moving. And so when people say, well, I follow no man, that sounds really sanctimonious. It does. And I understand where they're coming from. But the truth of the matter is we are to follow those people that are following Christ. Because, listen, if me and John and Brother Hall, and we're all following Christ, then it's okay for Elizabeth and say, okay, all y'all follow us because we're following Christ. That's what he's talking about here. So really, it shouldn't be a point of contention. It shouldn't be a person saying, well, I'm just not going to follow any man. Well, you can follow a man, if he's following Christ. And so that should clear that up. But, you know, sometimes people get to the point where they don't think, you know, sometimes they think a little highly of themselves than they ought to think. But we should be following people who are following Christ. That's the reason Paul said this in Philippians 4:9. He says, those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do. Why? Because he was doing what the Lord wanted him to do, and he is saying, whatever you see me do, you do. In other words, he is saying this, I'm being an example. I'm somebody that's an example to other Christians. And so therefore, Paul was a good role model. He was an example of how to follow Christ. And may I say today that many Christians today have the wrong type of role models. There are a lot of people that profess to be Christians today, they look up to the wrong people. And many follow the examples of people they shouldn't be following the examples of. Some people make athletes their role model. Now, I'm not saying that all athletes shouldn't be, that all of them are bad role models, but I'm saying that probably most of them are. Remember, the people that we should accept as our role models should be the ones following Christ. Okay, and if there's an athlete out there following Christ, okay, then that's fine. But people make athletes their role model because they're athletes. And that ought not be. Some people make singers their role model. Some people make actors their role model. But according to the scriptures, our role model should be Jesus Christ and any Christian who is following Jesus Christ. That's the best role model. You know, I tell my kids, you know, make sure that whoever you're following, whoever your role model is, they should be Christians. They should be Christians living right. And that's who, you know, why? Because that should be an example. And by the way, we should be examples to people like that. In other words, we should be a good example to other Christians by us following the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you're not following the Lord Jesus Christ, if you're out of fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ, then you're not being a good role model. You're not being a good example to other Christians. Now, Paul was a good example. And so certainly we should be a good example too. What was said about Paul should be able to be said about us, because we should be people that other Christians should be able to follow. Now, what was it about Paul that made him worth following as a Christian? What was some of his the things that he did that would say, okay, Paul must be going in the right direction. Paul is obviously following Jesus Christ, so therefore I should follow Paul like he says to do. What was it about him? What was it about his life that stuck out to would show that he is a good person to follow? And what should we have in our lives that would make us good people to follow as far as being an example for other Christians? Well, that's where Romans 15 comes in. Turn over to Romans chapter 15, which is our other text tonight. And in this passage in Romans chapter 15 is a passage that shows us very interesting things about Paul that made him a person that other Christians should follow. Romans chapter 15. Now in Romans chapter 15, look if you would, starting at verse 15. Paul says this. He says, "Nevertheless, brethren, I have written the more boldly unto you in some sort, as putting you in mind because of the grace that is given to me of God, that I should be the minister of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles, ministering the gospel of God, that the offering up of the Gentiles might be acceptable, being sanctified by the Holy Ghost. I have therefore whereof I may glory through Jesus Christ in those things which pertain to God. For I will not dare to speak of any of those things which Christ hath not wrought in me, or wrought by me, to make the Gentiles obedient by word and deed, through mighty signs and wonders by the power of the Spirit of God, so that from Jerusalem and round about unto Illyricum I have fully preached the gospel of Christ. Yea, so have I strived to preach the gospel, not where Christ was named, lest I should build upon another man's foundation. But as it is written, to whom he was not spoken of, they shall see, and they that have not heard shall understand. For which cause also I have been much hindered from coming unto you. But now having no more place in these parts, and having a great desire these many years to come unto you, whensoever I take my journey into Spain, I will come to you, for I trust to see you in my journey, and to be brought on my way thitherward by you, if first I be somewhat filled with your company. But now I go unto Jerusalem, minister unto the saints. For it hath pleased them in Macedonia and Achaia, and make a certain contribution for the poor saints which are at Jerusalem. It hath pleased them verily, and their debtors they are, for if the Gentiles have been made partakers of their spiritual things, their duty is also to minister unto them the carnal things. When therefore I have performed this, and have sealed to them this fruit, I will come by you into Spain. And I am sure that when I come unto you, I shall come in the fullness of the blessing of the gospel of Christ. Now I beseech you, brethren, for the Lord Jesus Christ's sake, and for the love of the Spirit, that ye strive together with me in your prayers to God for me, that I may be delivered from them that do not believe in Judea, and that my service which I have for Jerusalem may be accepted by of the saints, that I may come unto you with joy by the will of God, and may with you be refreshed. Now the God of peace be with you all. Amen." Let's pray. Father, we thank you tonight, Lord, for your grace and mercy. And Lord, I thank you for the word tonight. And Lord, help us, Lord, as we've come here tonight, Lord, to hear from you and learn from your word. Father, help us to see exactly what it was about Paul that made him a man that we could follow. And Lord, help us to have those same traits, Lord, because we know that whatever it was about Paul, it had to be the same with Jesus Christ, because Paul was following Jesus Christ. And for us to follow Paul, that means he had some of the same attributes, or he had some of the same ways about him. And Lord, help us to have those ways as well. Help us to understand these things, Lord. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, when we look here at Romans chapter 15, we see that Paul wrote to the Romans church towards the end of his third missionary journey, probably around 56 AD. And because the people he mentions here, or mentions over in chapter 16 of Romans, it's believed that he was in Corinth when he wrote the letter. But it's in these verses in Romans chapter 15 where we see that what made Paul a good example for other Christians to follow, what made him a person that when he said that people should follow him, shows you why people should follow him, why he was a good example. And certainly the things that he was doing was the same thing that Jesus did, because if he's following Jesus, he'd be doing what Jesus did. And so therefore, if we follow Paul, we'll be following Jesus as well. And so we see some things here in Romans chapter 15 that shows that Paul was worth following. And one of the things that sticks out is that Paul was totally dedicated to the Lord. Now, I'm going to tell you, when you read all the Pauline epistles, you're going to find out that he was very dedicated. And everything he did, he was very dedicated to the Lord. In other words, he made serving the Lord the top priority. I mean, if all I said was just he made three missionary journeys, that pretty much sells that out. You know, I mean, that he was dedicated to the Lord. But he was a man who seemed to be always focused on doing the will of the Lord. He was one who was always fixing his eyes upon Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. And it's easy to tell what defined Paul's life and what his priorities were. We could tell that by what he wrote about. Just right here in chapter 15, notice the things that he wrote about. Notice that he wrote about the grace that was given to him by God there in verse 15. He said, "Nevertheless, brethren, I have written the more boldly unto you in some sort as putting you in mind because of the grace that is given unto me of God." Immediately, he's talking about the grace that God gives. You know, you could tell that's what is on his mind. You know, I think about that a lot. I think about how much grace God gives me every day, how much grace God gave me when I got saved, how much grace God gave me before I got saved, allow me to hear the gospel more than once. And, you know, and Paul is thinking about these things. And then also, he wrote about the ministry that was signed to him by Christ, the very next verse. He says that I should be the minister of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles, ministering the gospel of God, that the offering of the Gentiles might be acceptable, being sanctified by the Holy Ghost. Have you ever thought about what Jesus has called you to do and why he has you in the place that he has you? The job that you're working, the job that he allowed you to have, the people that he puts in front of you every day. Have you ever thought about what the Lord has for you to do? That's what he was talking about. He was talking about, I mean, just in two verses, he talks about the grace that God gives him. He talks about the ministry that the Lord assigned him. He also talked about his reason, Paul's reason for glorying. Look at verse 17. He said, "I have therefore, whereof I may glory through Jesus Christ in those things which pertain to God." So he's just, you know, it seems like everything he's writing about is, it's all about the Lord. Look at verse 18. He talks about what Christ had accomplished through him. He says, "For I will not dare to speak of any of those things which Christ hath not wrought by me to make the Gentiles obedient by word and deed." He also talks about the power that was manifested in him and through him. Verse 19, "Through mighty signs and wonders by the power of the Spirit of God." And the fact that by the grace of God, he had fully preached the gospel of Christ in all these places like Asia Minor, Macedonia, Grecia, and the Grecian Peninsula. He says in verse 19, it says that from Jerusalem and round about in Illyricum, I have fully preached the gospel of Christ. And then in verse 21, he shows us his motivation by quoting Isaiah 52:15. He says, "But as it is written, to whom he was not spoken of, they shall see, and they that have not heard shall understand." Paul wanted people to know the Lord. He wanted to lead people to the Lord. He wanted to be the one that the Lord used to bring glory to Christ. And it seems that everything that Paul did, he did with Jesus in mind. And that makes him worth following. The fact that everything he talked about, when he thought about things, it was always somehow related to the Lord and what the Lord had been doing and what the Lord wanted him to do and the grace that God gives him. I'll tell you something, that made him worth following there. You know, whenever I'm talking to some Christians, it seems like we could talk for days. And we could talk about all these different things. We could talk about sports, and we could talk about hunting, and we could talk about the weather, and we could talk about these things. But you know, if you see a Christian out there and that person never, ever talks about the Lord, ever, I probably wouldn't follow that fella. Why? Because his priorities aren't right. I mean, if you're around a Christian that's right with God, sometime within, let's say, a day of talking to him, the Lord's name should probably come up at least once or twice. Amen? But if a person never talks about the Lord, he's probably not the best role model. Now, I'm not going to tell you, I'm not going to tell you what role models to choose, but I'm just telling you that there's just certain things about people. If a person's right, and I will tell anybody that you should never follow anybody that's not right with the Lord. I also tell people you should never get advice from anybody that's not right with the Lord. I mean, well, if I'm going to talk to somebody and try to get advice from somebody, number one, I'm going to read the Bible first and see what the Bible has to say about it. I'm going to pray about it a long time. But when I'm seeking wise counsel, the wisest counsel you can seek are the people that's right with God. Okay? And so I would caution you never to even get advice from somebody who isn't living right. If a person doesn't bring up the Lord's name every now and then, if he doesn't talk about the Lord, if he doesn't give the Lord glory, I wouldn't follow that person. But that's the way Paul was. Paul was a person that everything he talked about, it seemed like he was talking about the Lord. I mean, he said this in Philippians 3, verses 14 through 16. He said, I press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many be perfect, be thus minded. And if in anything ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. Nevertheless, whereto we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule. Let us mind the same things. He's saying this, we ought to have the mind of Christ. We ought to think like Christ thought about things. We ought to think upon the Lord and his grace and his mercy and all these things. And that's the way he said, that's the way our mind should be. Even, you know, the Bible even tells us that we need to be thinking upon heavenly things. Things from above, you know, and if you're thinking about those things and you're talking about those things, then you would be a good example to other Christians. And if you're not, then maybe you need to start thinking about them, because, you know, Christians need Christian examples. Christians need Christian role models. These young people in our church need good role models. And I think if we're going to be a good role model, certainly we need to be thinking about the grace that God gives us, and think about how you know the calling that the Lord's given us, and we should be thinking about how to lead people to the Lord, and you know, when somebody walks in front of us and there's an opportunity to witness to them, you know, we should be thinking about those opportunities. We should always be thinking about the Lord and talking about the Lord, and if we do that, I think we're going to be people that others could follow, because we'll be following Christ. You know, if you think about this, it was the Lord who said, not my will, but thine be done. See, the Lord was thinking about always pleasing the Father. And Paul was thinking about always pleasing the Lord. Jesus Christ talked about the Father an awful lot. When you read the Gospels, I mean, he constantly talked about the Father. He constantly talked about his will. And so, obviously, God was on the mind of Jesus Christ. The Father was on the mind of Jesus Christ. And Jesus was on the mind of Paul. So he said this, follow me. And the things you've seen me do, you do them. And so therefore, Paul was a man worthy to be followed because he was following Christ. And if we're going to be good examples, we need to follow Christ and think upon the same things Paul thought about. And so Paul was a person who was totally dedicated to the Lord. Another thing that made Paul a man worth following is that not only was Paul completely dedicated to the Lord, but Paul had a great concern for other people. Now, back in Romans chapter 15, it says this, starting in verse 22. He says, for which cause also I have been much hindered from coming to you. But now, having no more place in these parts, and having a great desire these many years to come unto you, whensoever I take my journey into Spain, I will come to you. For I trust to see you in my journey, and to be brought on my way thitherward by you, if first I be somewhat filled with your company. Now, you could tell that Paul cared about these people, because not only did he travel on three different missionary journeys so that he could reach the lost and so that he could start churches and minister to those churches, but Paul also wrote to churches he started to encourage them in the Lord. When you read all the letters that Paul wrote to those churches, he was writing to those churches because he cared about them. He wrote to those churches because he wanted to help them out and he wanted to minister to them. Sometimes he was tough on them. I mean, when you read 1 Corinthians, he was pretty tough on those folks. He called them baby Christians before he ever got to the fourth chapter. And he was telling them the things that they were doing wrong, but he was doing it because he cared about them. He was doing it because he loved them. And sometimes people get the wrong ideas about pastors. They think that if a pastor says something that's stern or if a pastor isn't always, happy with everything you do, that the pastor's being a jerk. No, listen, the truth of the matter is, as a pastor, I like to see people grow. And if you got to be stern with people, then sometimes you got to be stern with people. And why? Because the pastor cares about them. Paul cared about these people. He wrote to these people. He ministered to these people. Not only did he win many of these people to the Lord, but he wrote. And then he said, listen, I'm going to try to see you. I'm going to do everything I can do to get to where you're at because I care about you. I want to spend some time with you. I want to spend some time in fellowship with you. And not only did he say that to these people in Rome, but he also talked about some other places that he was going to go in order to help them. In verse 25, he says, but now I go unto Jerusalem to minister unto the saints. And so he wanted to go there and minister to those people too. Why? Because he cared about people. He wanted to be around people. He wanted to spend some time with them. And I'll tell you something. If we're right with the Lord, if we're following Jesus Christ, you can't follow Jesus Christ and not care about people. You can't. Why? Because he cared an awful lot about us. Amen? He cared about people. He cared so much that he was willing to go to the cross to die for people. That's how much he cared about them. And it wasn't just saying that he cared about them. It was actually doing something that proved that he cared about them. And Paul was saying this. He was saying, I'm following Christ, and Christ cared about people. I'm going to care about people. And I'm not going to just say it. I'm going to actually do something that shows that I care about people. And that's reading and saying, I want to come to you. I want to be where you're at. I want to have fellowship with you. Now, I'm just going to tell you the same way it was when we're talking about being dedicated to the Lord. If a person isn't dedicated to the Lord, if a person's top priority is not the Lord, then that person's not the best person to follow. I'll also tell you that if there's a Christian out there who really doesn't care about being around other Christians, and he really doesn't care about being in the fellowship with other Christians, probably not the best person to follow. You say, what are you saying, Pastor? I'm saying this. I'm saying if you have a person who doesn't care about coming to church, how many of you understand that the local church is here for the edification of the saints? That's what it's here for. In other words, we come here to worship the Lord. We come here to grow the Lord by hearing the preaching. But the Bible's clear when it says that it's for the edification of the saints. Now, what does that mean? That means when Al comes in, he edifies me, and I edify him, and he has fellowship with John, and John has fellowship with him, and the ladies have fellowship, and that's what we're here for, to edify the saints. And whether it be through the Word of God, whether it be through fellowship, that's what we're here for. And for a person to say, I just love the people of the church, but they never come, it's a hard sell to say, well, I really care. How much do you really care about the believers if you never want to come and have fellowship with them? And not only that, but to not come to church and to not have any part of church and only come once or twice a year or three times a year, that's in contradiction to what the Word of God says we're supposed to do. And that's not the person that I would want to follow. I tell you this, if you follow that person, you know what's going to happen? You're going to drop out of church too. And so if we're going to be examples to other people, then we ought to say, we ought to care about other people. We ought to want to come to church. We shouldn't be one of those people saying, oh, it's Sunday, I got to get up and go to church. We should want to come to church. We should say, hey, you know what? I want to get there because I want to see these people. I want to spend time with them. That's what Paul was like. Paul said, listen, I'm going to come to you. I'm going to try to be there because I want to be there with you people. Why? He cared. He cared. And therefore, he's a person that we should follow because he was following Christ who cared more than anybody else about other people. So Paul was one who was dedicated to the Lord. That certainly made him somebody worthy of following. He followed the Lord because he had a great concern for others. That made him worth following. And then we also know that he followed the Lord because Paul was dependent upon prayer. He was dependent upon prayer. Many times in the Gospels, when you read the Gospels, you'll see how Jesus prayed often. In fact, you see him praying a lot. And usually when he prayed, he would separate himself from others and then go pray alone. Sometimes he'd go up on a mountain to pray alone. Sometimes he went to Gethsemane and he told the other disciples, "You stay here and you stay on watch. I'm going to go pray." And he goes and prays. You see that a lot, but you also read about how he was constantly telling others to pray. For example, Matthew 9:38, Jesus said, "Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into the harvest." He's telling people, pray. When you do, pray the Lord will send laborers in the harvest. Mark 11:24, he says, "Therefore I say unto you, what things soever ye desire, when ye pray, believe that ye receive them, and ye shall have them." He's telling people, pray and pray believing, and you'll have those things. Luke 22:40, it says, "And when he was at the place, he said unto them, pray that ye enter not into temptation." I'll tell you this, that's something we have to pray every day. Lord, you know, give me strength and when the temptation comes, and Lord, help me not to be tempted, and those things. The Lord constantly was praying and telling others to pray. And you know what Paul did? He followed the Lord in that. Because Paul was one who prayed all the time as well. In fact, we even see him right here praying and encouraging others to pray. Look at verse 30 in Romans chapter 15, verse 30. Paul says, "Now I beseech you, brethren, for the Lord Jesus Christ's sake and for the love of the Spirit, that ye strive together with me in your prayers to God for me." And Paul said, listen, he said, "I need prayers, and I'm asking you to pray with me here." He's doing the same thing that Jesus Christ did. Jesus encouraged others to pray. Paul's encouraged others to pray. In fact, Paul said, pray without ceasing. And so he encourages these people to pray and pray with him. And notice how specific Paul was in stating his prayer request. Look at verse 31. He said, "I want you to pray with me, but not just in general, but I want you to pray for certain things." He says that number one, that I may be delivered from them that do not believe in Judea. Those people in Judea that were non-believers, they were giving Paul a fit. And he also says this, "And that my service which I have for Jerusalem may be accepted of the saints." He said, pray for that. And then he says in verse 32, "That I may come unto you with joy by the will of God and may be with you and may with you be refreshed." So he's saying this, I want you to pray. When you pray with me, I want you to pray, but I want you to just pray general. I want you to pray, number one, that the Lord will deliver you from the unbelievers in Judea, that the service which I have in Jerusalem may be accepted of those believers there, and then also that I may come unto you with joy by the will of God, and I may be refreshed when I get there. It's almost like he was praying for them to have a men's retreat right there. Amen? And that's what he was praying. He was praying specific. Listen, if you're gonna follow somebody, that person ought to be somebody who prays. Somebody who it doesn't matter if it's a good day, a bad day, if good things are happening or bad things are happening, a person who prays all the time, that should be the person that you follow. Because Jesus prayed all the time. Jesus made prayer we're talking a high priority. And you know what sometimes that we do is we pray, we get in a habit to where we pray over our meals, and that's good, though we need to make sure it's not a repetitive prayer. We pray before we go to bed. That's good. Again, as long as it's not a repetitive prayer. But you know, what we need to do is we need to get in the habit of praying all the time. We need to pray before we go to work. Pray before we pray before pray when we get up in the morning. Pray before we go to bed at night. You know, we have a decision to make. We need to stop and pray. You know, if somebody has a problem, we need to just pray about it. You know, one of the things I really appreciate is whenever I'm talking to somebody and there's a problem or there's a difficulty or some sort of obstacle that we have to get past, when that person says, okay, well, I'll tell you what, let's pray about it right now. That's a blessing when somebody does that. Why? Because that person's first thought was not to try to fix the situation. His first thought was, let's pray about it. Now, that's a person I want to follow. If that person's first thing, if his knee-jerk reaction is, let's pray about it. That's who I want to follow. That's the way Paul was. Paul said this. He goes, I want to be with you people, and I want to have fellowship with you people, but I tell you what, let's just pray about it right now. Let's just pray together. You pray together with me right now that the Lord deliver me from those unbelievers in Judea, that the Lord will, the work I'm going to be doing in Jerusalem, that he'll bless that, and oh, that I'll get to come here and visit you if it's according to God's will. You see, that's what he did. He was following Jesus Christ because he knew Jesus Christ prayed and he wanted others to pray. And he was doing the same thing. He was telling others to pray and he was praying himself. And then he says, those things that you see me do, you do them. Follow me. He was really worth following. Why? Because he was following Jesus Christ. And so when we see these things, when he says those things which ye see have both learned and received and heard and seen in me do, he was basically saying this: you've seen that my total dedication is to the Lord. You've seen that I have a great concern for others, and you've seen that I pray. So you do the same thing. Follow me, because I'm following the Lord. So tonight, we see what made Paul worth following. I wonder how we are when it comes to, I mean, are we worth following? Are we a good example to other Christians, younger Christians in the faith, our teens, our young people? Are we good examples? Are we somebody that others can look up to and follow because we are following Jesus Christ? I mean, are we dedicated to the Lord? Is that pretty much what we think about all the time, is the Lord and serving the Lord and what we can do for the Lord and obeying the Lord, being thankful for the things the Lord has given us? I wonder how often we actually talk about the Lord. I mean, would we be a good enough example because people hear us talking about the Lord all the time? Or maybe our concern for others. Do we have a genuine concern for other people? Can other people see it? Are we being a good example in that area? And how about prayer? Are we a good example to other people when it comes to prayer? If somebody tells you about a problem that they're having, is the first thing you think of is praying, taking it before the Lord? It should be, if we're going to be good examples. Paul said, follow me. And we should be able to tell any young Christian, follow me because I'm following the Lord. We should be able to do that, if we're following the Lord. All right, let's stop there tonight.